In today's episode, we want to highlight some amazing dreamers that have achieved some amazing goals in the past year, because we get to speak to some amazing guests, but out there in the real world, there's so many people achieving so many things. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about it. You know, let's talk about some of the top dreamers that we thought should be highlighted and why. And off the top of the head, I know you got someone in mind.
Yeah. First, there's a lot this year, I think, that a lot of people should be proud of. But first for me is Killer Mike.
Hey.
I mean, this guy cleaned up at the Grammys, you know.
Got arrested and cleaned up.
For me, I'm a big Run the Jewels fan, yeah. Right? To see how Killer Mike came up out of the Dungeon family, you know, with Future before anybody knew who he was, and mm-hmm. had some success as a solo artist, then kind of revamped himself, did something completely like wasn't typical ATL style rap, right, with this whole Run the Jewels thing,
yeah.
and started touring all over the world as, you know, a guy in his mid-30s, mm-hmm. In his own genre, and it really working. You know, I take from that what Cut the Lights did, my group, right? And I look to Run the Jewels as a blueprint to how yeah. to get that stuff done. And then to go back again and say, you know what? I know this I know this Run the Jewels stuff is working. Fuck it. Let me just do my own thing and come up with a Killer Mike album and just say everything I've wanted to say now that I have some money.
Yeah.
And then have the Grammys really like just love that and beat out huge names.
Yeah, it wasn't like competition. Metro Boomin for Heroes and Villains, Nas, King's Disease 3, Travis Scott, Utopia, and Drake and 21 Savage, Her Loss.
That's crazy.
Beat them all out.
That's
man.
Crazy.
And got no hate against Killer Mike for doing it. He's been doing this for a long time.
Exactly.
People are like, who's Killer Mike?
Right.
If you know hip hop, you should know who Killer Mike
Absolutely.
Really is.
Absolutely.
And what I loved about it too, is that he got arrested the biggest night of his life, arguably.
Right.
He got out of that, and they came out with a mop or a sweep product that they sold online. They're like, yo, we swept the Emmys. the Grammys. I got arrested, but let's make some money. So he posted it online. They sold a crap load. And I saw him in an interview for Breakfast Television. They were like, yo, weren't you feeling down and whatever? Weren't you mad that they didn't televise the rap category again? He's like, beggars can't be choosers. He's right. Like, what? I won 3 Grammys. I swept the Grammys. Yeah. Why should I be sad? They didn't televise it. So what, man?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I loved his attitude. And if you saw in the past year or so when he came out with the album, he was like the only guy that was really promoting his album in that category, right? Like, he would go on interviews. He would talk about it. He would go on speaking engagements. He
right.
felt like the real brand ambassador
right.
of his album.
He's always been an outspoken guy. And, you know, you love the stuff that he does in his community.
Yeah.
You know, how involved he is with politics and stuff like that. So I think it's nothing for him to speak on it because that's what he's doing already,
mm-hmm.
right? Did he have the biggest promoted one? I don't know. I mean, Drake and 21 Savage, they did a whole... It was different. I think people
different.
Are trying different marketing different. Schemes now. I know Travis did like a whole Utopia film
yeah,
almost, right,
did.
For his stuff. So, I mean, you know, each his own.
To each his own, but
yeah,
it shows
but it
you,
worked.
You don't need $100 million budget.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people get angry when someone wins that is not as famous as others.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good thing because it shows exposure to real artists with their art that might not have the craziest budgets. And also, he's 48 years old.
Yeah.
And it's a true definition of DDHD.
Absolutely. So that's my guy. That's my guy.
Shout out to Killer Mike.
How are you going
to
top that one?
Well, I'm not going to top it right away. I want to talk about the next one we have on the list is Alicia's pick, actually.
Mm.
Right? Victoria Monet. That's a
yes,
big one.
Yes, man.
She won Best R&B Album, right?
She won three.
She won three Grammys.
Three Grammys. Best New Artist, Best R&B Album,
Best R&B Album.
Non-classical engineered album.
Wow. Wow. And that's a name... Like in the masses, they're like, who is Victoria Monet? You know, where's SZA? Where are all the other major artists that were in the category? What do we know about Victoria? Because I literally was like, oh, Victoria Monet, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Let me look into this album.
She's been around. Like, what I love about her is that she came out as a lot of R&B artists do in their early 20s, you know, you get the LA bug and you go out and you try and make waves and you have some success and you get signed, and then things don't kind of go the way you thought it was, you know, like, and then I guess the fame fizzles out a little bit, right? That new shine fizzles out a little bit. And then you get stuck in this thing as an artist where you're in limbo and you're not getting maybe the A-list treatment anymore. Right. And then it got to a point where she had to move. She moved back. You know, she had a child, like she was still in love with music, but she was at a crossroads, as a lot of artists are. But she ended up sticking with it. Right. Sticking with it, what she loved through all of her adversities. Right. Came up with some phenomenal music, found the right producers, found the right team to get back with her, and then just kind of went hard, man, and never gave up on what her dream was. She had to pivot a little bit, but she never gave up, man. And when she put out, was it On My Mama?
On My Mama.
When I heard On My Mama, I was like, this is a phenomenal.
Really?
Phenomenal record. It's beautifully produced. It's beautifully written. It's beautifully performed. It's not 1 minute and 45 seconds. It's a full record with great, like, it's everything you can ask for. The choreography, for the videos, like, yes.
She taps back into, like, that classic feel that everybody was missing about R&B.
Yes.
That just comes from her being so experienced. Like, she's
written
for Kehlani, Ariana Grande,
right,
JoJo, Jordan Sparks. Like, she's an incredible songwriter. So she's really an all-around artist that is finally getting her flowers. At the MTV Awards, when she was supposed to perform, they told her, sorry, no, like, you know, you're not quite as known.
Really?
So to get denied and then to come back, do the Grammys and win three Grammys?
That is how wow.
Dreams don't have deadlines.
Yeah, man.
Exactly.
I love that, man. I hope to God that the Grammys don't fall into the peer pressure of being like, you got to have the top Billboard artists always win these awards. Mm-hmm. It's amazing because now I had to go to Victoria Monet's album, listen to it, and be like, wow, this is dope.
Because
without it, I wouldn't have known, to be honest. So shout out to her, man. Next pick we got here is from our beautiful director, Dwayne, with his beautiful Antigua tan, Max Verstappen. Now, for all those that don't know, Max Verstappen is the current F1 champion who has been doing it now. Is it 3 years in a row? Yeah, 3 years in a row. He beat so many records last year, which I think the most wins in a season, the most consecutive wins in a season. We all know the Dutch national anthem by heart now because of him winning every goddamn race. But shout out to Max, man, because that is one of the hardest sports in the world. Only 20 drivers get to get the privilege of driving in those insane vehicles. And for him to continuously do it, everybody debates, is it the race, is it the driver, or is it the car?
Right.
And, you know, Verstappen, I think, proves that it definitely the driver. Keep in mind, Red Bull has the best car in F1, but you could say the same thing for Lewis Hamilton when he won all those championships, all those years with Mercedes as well. So shout out, Max.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else we should shout out?
I mean,
Max?
If we're talking sports, you got to mention Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, man. Like, SGA right now is he is on a tear. He's an MVP nod for this year, you know. Where is he from? But where? Is he West End or is he East End?
Is he Brampton?
I don't remember. I think you might be a West End man, yo, you know?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Let's see here. He was born in Toronto.
Yeah.
He went to high school in Hamilton. So he's a Hamilton boy.
Listen.
Do we still accept him?
Yes, we do. It's rough out there.
Yeah, shout out Hamilton. I love Hamilton. Shout out Hamilton.
But yeah, you know, to see him come up, man. Listen, we know how hard it is to just get into the NBA alone, right? And to have that type of season on such a young team,
100%.
And to get noticed in an area that is very small market, right? It's phenomenal.
Nice, man.
It's phenomenal. So I got to give SGA his flowers for sure.
His mom's Antiguan. His mom's Antiguan.
Okay, here we go.
Yo, Dwayne's half Antiguan at this point, you know? That's why you like him, Dwayne. Speaking of sports, gotta shout out Shannon Sharp. You know, Shannon Sharp came from a very popular sports show.
Yep.
Had his breakup.
Yep.
And started his own podcast, Club Shay Shay. And he had another podcast with Chat, Ocho Cinco, right? He has two podcasts, correct?
It's the same podcast. It's
is it the same?
It's a branch off of the same podcast.
Yeah.
He's been doing Shay Shay since he was a football player.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, he came out and came out swinging with some amazing guests.
Yeah.
But what made him globally known is the Cat Williams episode. Let's be real. It's over, what, like 60 million views right now? He broke the internet.
You think that's what made him known?
That made him globally known. Globally known.
The podcast, the show.
Because I know people that had not heard of Shannon Sharp, like, I know my my girlfriend hadn't heard of him. Right. A bunch of her friends probably didn't hear of him. And right. I know friends that didn't until the Cat Williams clips came out.
That's crazy.
So that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so shout out to him for still being an innovator in the podcast game and his whole team to make it what it is today. And let's branch off to Cat Williams. Yeah. You know, came for with all the smoke, wanting all the smoke, whether everything was true or false or whatever the case may be. For a guy like Cat Williams that's been in the comedy game for so long and almost relaunch himself with this episode and sell out his tour, I don't know, man. That's
I think the lesson learned is that, like, it doesn't, like, one thing can always change, and especially in the entertainment career, that can just skyrocket.
Yeah.
So as long as you keep working, I mean, Cat Williams, it wasn't like he was ass out, like, waiting for somebody to, you know, but he was doing well, right? He's had so many specials, so he's doing relatively
19 albums.
Right.
But I was talking to someone before that episode came out, like, literally 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about who can still make a comeback, and I mentioned Cat Williams, and they told, no way, man. No way Cat Williams could ever make a comeback. Who cares about Cat Williams these days?
Right.
And coming out of the new year with that episode,
everything changes.
I don't know.
It's why you got to keep working, guys. Yeah. If you're doing something within your craft, don't stop, because I know it feels like the carrot and the stick a lot of the times, but if you're good at what you do and you know that and you're still talented and there's no reason virtually why you should stop, there's that one thing that it could always change it. And we're seeing it this year with Killer Mike, with Victoria Monet, with Cat Williams, right? Like, it's just happening all over the place. Now he's on another level, right? We know there's levels to this. He's always going to be successful. I think he's always been a great comic, right? Especially stand-up. So I'm sure he'll get some kind of movie roles. Like, remember, he was in Atlanta. Did a great job in Atlanta.
And he won the Golden Globe or Emmy or whatever.
Yeah. Right, yeah, he won an award for that. So he's never been asked out, but we know there's levels to this.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's on another level now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Shannon had a platform. He needed a
great guest. I don't think it was Shannon that put Cat on.
I'm just saying the platform.
The timing.
Sure, but it's.
The platform he had is not. Even though it's Shannon's platform, it's backed by a news corporation.
Exactly.
For sure.
Yeah, he's on the biggest sports show in the world.
Keep that aside. His subscribers and followers almost doubled after that episode.
Absolutely.
Or tripled, it's crazy how much influence, and it was a 3.5 hour episode. I watched the whole thing, but I did it in bits and pieces.
Right.
But that's just because Cat Williams is such an entertaining guy,
But that also makes everybody look at things differently.
Mm-hmm.
Before, when we would see a 3 hour interview, you might have been intimidated, like, oh, I'm gonna watch it.
I'm still that way.
Somebody who has that pull, has that entertainment factor that I think we were lacking, that changes the dynamic.
It does. Cat Williams made a whole bit of difference. And he had a lot of controversial things he was saying, which made it even more entertaining.
What I like that he said that kind of balanced it out, because there was a lot of controversial stuff. But what he said that really stuck out to me was something along the lines of, you don't get to treat me a certain way and then narrate how my truth is, right? Like,
absolutely.
You don't get to narrate how I speak about it if you're treating if I feel you're treating me a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, so, like,
what I took
you can't
out of
get
that
mad.
One. No, you can't be mad. Sorry to cut you off. What I took out of that one is his confidence.
Mm.
It's like that reconfirmation that you need to have full confidence in yourself, whatever you're doing. Because we're always going to have troubles being confident in our skill set. And no matter how much trash talking there is around you or how many haters, it just fascinated me how Cat Williams was just so convinced in everything he was saying. I am who I am. I am the greatest. This is what I'm about. And I'm going to knock it out of the park. So shout out to Cat. Let's and the mention for me or the winner for me would be Brandon Fraser. So Brandon Fraser won Best Oscar last year for The Whale, a very difficult role. I'm obsessed with acting, but Brandon Fraser, like, we grew up with Brandon Fraser with all those movies he did.
Huge. Encino Man.
Yeah, the Mummy movie.
The Mummy movies.
There's so many movies that he did as a kid, and then there was a break, you know, and that he talked about it in several interviews where Hollywood wouldn't want him anymore. They wouldn't cast him anymore. He had a very difficult time to try to get the roles that he wanted.
I don't know if you remember the whole story of why everything went down.
I can't remember specifically.
So with Brandon Fraser, he came out, you know, young Canadian kid, kind of Keanu Reeves-esque heartthrob type of teen pop guy, whatever, you know, with the Encino Mans and stuff like that, right? Who had acting chops, but just had a look, right? And so he just got kind of pigeonholed into these types of roles. And then once he got The Mummy, he had a back injury somewhere around there. I don't know if it was on set or not, but it really hurt him after the Mummy stuff. And it was hard for him to, you know, keep up in shape. And he had to go through a lot of back surgeries and stuff like that, which is why he gained so much weight after a while. And people saw, they would see him and they'd be like, yo, why is Brandon Fraser looking so, like, man's looking
thick,
mosh up right now. You know, like, it's just not good, right? Thick boy. It's supposed to be a heartthrob, you know what I mean? And then there was a whole controversy about the Scorpion King and The Rock coming in and kind of taking his franchise, even though Brendan Fraser invited him into the franchise, right? So there was a whole thing, and that's when his career just kind of slid down, and he's had, like, multiple back surgeries and gained so much weight and wasn't able to work, and then gave up on Hollywood because he was treated as he had no acting chops because he wasn't that guy anymore. Got it.
Which is it makes his story even better at this point. And The Whale was it's a role about a very obese man that can barely stand up. His daughter's visiting him constantly to try to build a relationship with him, and it relates to a lot of people that are obese out there. Mm-hmm. But he won the Oscar, and so much social media attention went to him. And, like, he was astonished by how many fans he had from back 20 years ago, which tells you, like, you don't know how you influence people in their life
at all.
And we're all waiting for the next Brandon movie, you know? Mm-hmm. So shout out to him. Some honorable mentions we wrote down here. Let's see here. We got Michelle Yeoh and K-Hyo Kwan from Everything Everywhere All at One.
Yeah.
K is incredible because he was the kid from...
I just watched The Goonies the other day, man. I'm like, let me watch The Goonies again with my son.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And see how he enjoyed it. It's such a wild ride. It brings you right back. All the 80s babies, you know what I'm talking about. Even if you're born in the 2000s, I think it's very cool to see kids go on an adventure without cell phones, without screens, you know what I mean? Navigate in worlds and go to places they shouldn't be and ride their bikes and do that stuff that we used to do as kids. And then, like you said, for he was such a standout character in that and the Indiana Jones
that
movie that he did. But child acting, bro, it's
tough.
It's pretty bad.
It's tough because it could lock you in as that one character.
Right.
And then for a long time, people won't, where you get a revitalization of their career or go into something else. So for him to come back all these years later, win a Oscar, and I think a Golden Globe, shout out to him. But talking about child actors, let's talk about Connor Price.
Yes.
What?
Good segue, Marwan.
You know, that's what...
Okay.
That's why they pay me nothing here, so I can take that.
Very nice. No.
Connor Price.
Sean Connery?
No, I know, right? Is an astonishing figure. People don't know him. He is from the GTA, I believe, Canadian. Was a child actor.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure what happened to his acting career, but it...
Probably what happens to a lot of child actors, right? You age out of stuff and then, you know, I don't know. It's tough, man. It's not easy.
And a white Canadian guy to enter music, not in any genre, but hip hop.
Right.
everybody knows this guy now on TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah.
And you as an artist probably are looking at this as well and being like, wow, this guy revitalized himself and how to leverage social media to do skits, as well as collaborating with multiple artists from all around the globe.
Yes.
And doing it independently.
Yes.
And now he's nominated for Juno.
Yeah.
He sold out a tour when I think he went to Europe with Four Corners.
Four Corners is the guy who actually put me onto Conor Price.
Yeah. And it's a crazy acceleration in how people continuously change the music game and how they can leverage technology. And he's like a perfect example.
Absolutely. And it gives all independent artists hope. I think he's a shining light in that sense. Yes, you know, you can talk about race and all of this stuff, but he put in the work. Him and his wife, they put in the work. You can see it in their visuals. You can see it within their content that they had a plan, that they were executing it, and they didn't give up after a month or so, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they started working it, and as they did it, they got better every time. And then they figured out the system, and they were consistent, you know? So these are all the things that I'm telling artists that you need to do, right? Find your thing. Find whatever it is that you're good at and focus on it and be consistent with
consistent.
And it's going to grow.
Yeah.
And you look at him now, he's like one of the, like, you know, for like TikTok and all that stuff. Like, you want to use his music. His music fits so well like people's content and stuff like that. So shout out to him, man.
Yeah, man.
Great job.
Yeah, no, amazing, amazing guy. If you haven't checked him out, check out his music.
Yeah.
And we can't wait to see more artists come out like Conor Price.
Yep.
Speaking of local talents, you got another one on mind, right?
Yeah, I have to. We can't go throughout this segment without mentioning this person, Lou Kala.
Ooh, okay.
Oh my God, Pretty Girl Era. When I heard that song last year, I was like, I was probably a little late to the party, but I'm like, this song is great. One of the best feelings for me is hearing great material, seeing a great show or film or song, and then later finding out that that person is actually from where I'm from.
I didn't know
who this person. I'm just like, oh, this is, it's like, you know, the Spotify algorithm or Apple Music. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just playing, and then I heard it. I'm like, oh, this is, she can sing, and this has got a nice pop feel. Who is this person? Right, and then I did my research, which I like to do for new artists, and then and then I heard the song after that, the song that she had with Lotto called Lottery, which is up for some awards this year, I believe.
Okay.
Right? She's up for a Juno as well. And I think, you know, being body positive, you know, my friends get on me all the time. They're like, bro, are you a feminist? I'm like, maybe. I don't know. Because I feel like, you know, there's so many great female artists out there, and not just musicians, but like talent.
Yeah.
You know, that don't get on the same playing field as the rest of the guys, you know?
Yeah.
Sidebar, like what Sabrina did with Steph at the All-Star Weekend, right? Yeah. I thought that was one of the greatest highlights of the weekend.
Yeah.
Having her go against Steph Curry for the 3-point shooting contest. I thought that was awesome. But back to Lou, like, you know, like being body positive, being a great songwriter, having this type of success, right, where you don't normally see it, and being from where we're from, it's like, yo, wins on wins on wins. I hope I see her this year at the Juno so I could give her a big hug, man.
No, man, that's amazing. Yeah. And shout out to her and everything, like, and her confidence level as well in everything that she does. And just because some people might not be their cup of tea of their music or what that person is and what they represent, doesn't mean it might not be a cup of tea for everybody else. So, and it also inspires people. Like, her body positivity message, I hope, inspires others to, you know, create on their own and really pursue whatever they want to do in their arts.
Yeah.
Because there's probably so many untapped potential out there, because they might think of the masses of what they think about who they are and what they represent. So I think she's a perfect embodiment of just be who you are, do what you love, and hey, look at the results.
I agree with that.
Big ups.
100%. Big ups. Man. So Marwan, do we have any other honorable mentions that
you
want to mention?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Jason Rochester.
Okay.
Dave Merhej.
Yes.
DDHD alumni.
That's right. Check out that episode if you haven't yet.
Absolutely.
Very funny.
Incredible comedian. Just keeps elevating. You know, when we met him a couple of years ago, he had won a Juno for Best Comedy Album. He'd been on TV and touring all over the place. And now he is in a feature film that is running in theaters as a co-lead, and a film called Sometimes I Think About Dying.
Yes.
And it's incredible to see, not only to know someone, that is in the field, that is also pursuing their goals and their dreams. And this is one of the things he's been striving for. And as an actor, you know, looking at someone where we're from the place that we come from,
yeah,
and seeing him just continuously strive for those goals, it's so dope to see that you have a film that's running in theaters, you know? So shout out to Dave, man.
Yeah.
Congrats on all your successes. Can't wait to see you on the red carpet. Remember us, you know? But yeah,
sure,
shout out to
for
Dave.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I got to mention Usher really quickly.
Okay.
You know, we already know he's achieved so many of his dreams already, but yeah, I think we'd be remiss not to just mention the year that he's had.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not, yeah. And yes, the Super Bowl and finally dropping a new album, which is incredible, but the lead up to that, right? The hundreds of shows that he's put on in Vegas. Like, I recently listened to an interview with Floyd Mayweather, and he was saying, like, he's the king of Vegas, basically, you know, and for him to pay homage to Usher and say that you helped bring Vegas back to a light that people forgot about, right? You made it that celebrity place again that you know, the giants like Elvis and Celine Dion were doing before you. You know, people want, there was a thing of like, let me go to the Usher show so Usher can serenade me. And we're talking about big celebrities, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, that was a thing, like, to get discovered. At, you know, I saw Jessica Alba and
Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, you know, the list goes on. Like, it was a thing this year. So, and he brought that back with just really good music that he's been putting out for years. And
yeah,
I mean, I can probably say this with confidence. There will be no other performance at the Super Bowl with a man on roller skates ever again. Nobody's going to be brave enough to do that.
Real.
You know what I mean?
And he was so smooth,
guy,
man.
He killed it, man. Like, he killed it. So honorable mention to him.
Yeah,
sure.
Shout out to Usher,
man.
So many dreamers out there. So can't wait to see what this year brings and how they're going to inspire us. So
I'm already inspired, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm waiting for the work, bro. Let's see what you got there.
Yeah, that too.
No, shout out to everybody. Thanks for joining us on another episode of DDHD Podcast. I'm Marwan Menomini.
Juice Rochester, Rochester Juice.
And we'll see you later.
Work hard and I handle my business. Look up in the sky, whole squad, let's get it. No limit, no.